You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Hey, listen, I'm going to quickly tell you, you've got to check out e-tax breaks. Some of y'all have just gone through the end of the year. You're hoping that tax season is going to be good to you. Let me just tell you what you can still do. You may not be able to change last year's position overall, but you may find that there's a means by which you can deal with a part or even all of your tax liability. Go to etaxbreaks.com. This is what they do. 23 years of experience. I know these folks personally. I was just talking to some of them the other day. etaxbreaks.com. They can go in and examine your business. Look at things like, you know, like where'd you put your business geographically? Who did you hire? You know, did you keep your business open during the pandemic? All these kinds of things and more. There's like 3,000 programs over the nation that could qualify you for tax refunds, tax rebates, tax incentives, grants. It's crazy. And they just find money for their clients. They get the joy of going to work every day to call their clients and go, hey, found you some money. That's what they do. And they only get paid if they find you money. I've seen them wipe out a whole company's tax liability, literally. Just check them out, etaxbreaks.com/rightside. That's etaxbreaks.com/rightside. Okay, hey, listen, I'm going to number two in the triple. I'm going there, Copper. You can't stop me now. I'm going to number two in the triple dipper, just saying.
Good.
Okay. I know. I got like a half hour of sidetrack there from, but it was all good sidetrack. I mean, callers and everything. Okay. Listen, I'm going to go to the next part of the triple dipper, which is, I'm calling it green, but no envy. Green, but no envy. What am I saying there? I'm talking about the Green New Deal, the green policies, the things that are being put in place left and right now, which are literally causing no level of trust and confidence in the government. So here's, by the way, here's a funny one. Let me just say this. Were you aware, and I've got a copy of it right here, printed it off of whitehouse.gov. I've got the copy right in my hands. Hot little hands in the studio holding something from whitehouse.gov. It's their fact sheet that says President Biden signs executive order catalyzing America's clean energy economy through federal sustainability. Pray tell, what does all that fancy language mean? What it means is this. President Biden has decided that it's very important that the federal government lead the way. Well, okay, I get that. I don't fault that because, you know what, if you're going to ask the rest of the world to do something, but you won't do it yourself, that's a big deal. But it's what he's asking them to do that makes no sense to me. So here's what you might want to know, folks, especially out there at Redstone Arsenal, because y'all deal with you're federal everything out there. And the president's executive order directs the federal government to use its scale and procurement power to achieve five ambitious goals. 100% carbon pollution free electricity by 2030. Nice. Of which at least half will be locally supplied clean energy. Now, I don't know where he's going to come up with the wind farms and the solar panels in the next 8 years to make sure that half of all power at the local level can be done through clean energy. But he's got it down as an ambitious goal. Number two, 100% zero emission vehicle acquisitions by 2035. You know what that means is they want all federal fleet purchases to go electric. Hybrid at the very least, but electric is what they're looking at. Net zero emissions from federal procurement no later than 2050. Well, that's at least got a little ways there, but net zero emissions, including a buy clean policy to promote the use of construction materials with lower embodied emissions. I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. I like to think of myself as somewhat well-read. You know, I've been blessed with the opportunity to have gone to school. I'm a product of the public school system, but nonetheless, I feel like I got a decent education. All said and done, I have no idea what that just said to me. Let me read it again. Net zero emissions from federal procurement no later than 2050, including a buy clean policy to promote the use of construction materials with lower embodied emissions. I don't know that construction materials have emissions. I will have to look that one up. Let's move on. Next thing on the list, a net zero emissions building portfolio by 2045, including a 50% emissions reduction by 2032. What that means is smokestacks and, you know, the use of heat and air systems that are not considered to be green compliant, air all out. Net zero emissions for overall federal operations by 2050. Net zero. That's wonderful. What are you going to do with the Pentagon? That's a big old building. What are you going to do with the White House? It's 200 years old. They're not going to get to net zero. This is fancy talk to show that they're doing something. Let me tell you how it's being received. Thank you to Caitlin for this story. Sent it to me last night. it cracks me up. So President Biden signed that executive order on December 8th, right? December 8th, we will go to, where's the one I'm looking for? 100% zero emission vehicle acquisitions by 2035, except a story dated 2 days ago. The U.S. Postal Service is moving forward with a purchase of an entire new fleet, up to which 90% of which are going to be combustion engines. They're basically going, yeah, no, we're not doing that. So, the U.S. Postal Service is literally blazing forward with their plan to replace their fleet. and here's how it opens. Let me just read it to you. President Joe Biden has called for the federal government to replace its current fleet with electric vehicles. But, here's the but, the U.S. Postal Service remains poised to implement its own plans that envision using internal combustion engines for up to 90% of its next generation vehicles. I love it. All right, so you come on down, though, and of course, this article, where did this come from? This article came from CQ News, and I'm not sure what CQ News is. Thank you, Caitlin, for the source, though, because it's a good one. It says that the U.S. Postal Service cannot can commit to this because they don't have the funding for it. Yeah, go figure. Oh, look, an unfunded mandate. How's that work, Democrats? But they've got no resources for this, but they're still being fussed at. I mean, wow. So, Jared, Representative Jared Huffman, Democrat of California, introduced legislation last year to authorize $6 billion to the Postal Service so they could aggressively switch to electric vehicles. And if that goes through, they will be required to have at least 75% of their new vehicle purchases be electric or zero emissions. Good luck. The Democrats tried that with their reconciliation bill. It's out there failing right now. But then Huffman went on to say that the Postal Service's position is outrageous in the context of an urgent climate crisis. Biden's direction to rapidly move to electric vehicles and movement by competitors like UPS and FedEx, he said the UPS plan could have been written in 1985. Yeah. He also says, you know, he talks about, he says the Postal Service is a laughingstock. The Postal Service is not a laughingstock because of their vehicles. The Postal Service, if they're a laughingstock, which they're not entirely, is because they're a bloated government entity that is no longer proving its value to the same extent as the private sector competition like Amazon, FedEx, and others. So anyway, I think that's funny. Thank you, Caitlin, for sending me that story. Okay, so moving on. Other things within the green but no envy. So here's a storyline that got my attention. The Guardian is saying, and I agree with this, the Guardian.com. Guardian.com dated November, so this is about 2 months old. Gave a great opinion. It says starts off by saying, here's a question: what binds together such disparate souls as Noam Chomsky, Yanis Varoufakis, which I'm not familiar with, Joe Biden, AOC, and Caroline Lucas? I don't know all those names, but they're all liberals. Here's the answer: they all want a Green New Deal. All right, but he goes on to say this, and I thought it was pretty good. It basically implies that a lot of the Green New Deal, the green energy stuff, is smoke and mirrors. He says, supposedly, this is a stark and bold and urgent idea, but it's really a conceptual fog. Like some kind of policy pea soup, it nestles densely around arguments of ecological limits, social justice, and economic transformation, but only allows a glimpse of their outlines. What he's saying there, and I thought this is such a great analysis, what a great point, is that what they try to do is hide everything that they want under the context of climate crisis and how the Green New Deal is everything. The Green New Deal is social justice. The Green New Deal is the economy. The Green New Deal is socialism. The Green New Deal is everything. So right. Such a cogent analysis. All right, listen. I got some stuff on this that's kind of interesting. I'm going to bring it to you right after the break. Copper, you go ahead and move us there. I don't have to spend a lot of time on this one, but you might want to know this. One report from the Daily Caller says that the vast majority of what is being, you know, touted as necessary for Green Deal infrastructure is being built with slave labor in third world countries. That's interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back with more of that. Hang tight. Copper. You got me now? Wow. How about that? That was crazy. So I don't know what happened, but somehow on the board, the mic got switched off. I'm sitting there yelling that we're Right Side Radio, solid and conservative, and Copper's on the board going, "Where are you?" But anyway, I'm back, Copper. Hey, grab the mic. panic is over.
A little bit.
I'm thinking, how can I hear her and she can't hear me? This makes no sense. All right. Technology. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Hey, listen, speaking of technology, let me tell you about somebody who can fix part of your technology at your house. All right. How's that for a segue, Copper? You like that one? Thumbs up.
Smooth.
Very smooth. Hey, listen. So yeah, here's the deal. One of our newest team members is Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. Yep. You need something fixed, replaced, installed on your heating and air conditioning. This is who you want to call. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning serves Huntsville and Madison, all the surrounding areas. And I'm going to tell you right now, everything I understand about this business is they are your one-stop shop for your HVAC repairs, gas or electric, doesn't matter. And here's one of the things that I love. They are open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. So if your air or your heat goes out on a Friday night, you can still get somebody in there over the weekend. That's cool. And the guys at Vandy's, they're not going to upsell you on things you don't need. They have a commitment to that. And they're also, in fact, going to give you a free estimate on the work. Vandy's is an owner-operated, veteran-owned business. A guy named James Vandergrift owns Vandy's. And he's a veteran of Afghanistan himself. And I appreciate that more than I could say. And after serving his country in the military and overseas, James is now intent on coming back to serve his community. His goal is providing quality care and service for all your HVAC needs. So here's what I'm asking you to do. You need somebody for HVAC? Please consider calling Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning at 256-225-7311. That's Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning at 256-225-7311. Tell him you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. All right, so yeah, sorry about the gaffe there with the microphone, Copper. All me. I'm not sure what button got hit, but I started hitting buttons again, and lo and behold, I came back.
It's all good.
It was on my end, nonetheless. Hey, listen, back to wrapping up this segment that I've been doing. I'm just going to tell you, the green energy stuff, yeah, it's big doings, and they are pushing it hard. But here's something you might want to know, something that the White House is not going to tell you, is that as they push for these mandates, as they push for the requirement that green energy be the thing, to include things like solar panel. And by the way, I don't mind an all-of-the-above strategy. You want to put solar panels on your house? Go for it. I know a guy who did. A green energy push, though, is contributing to forced labor, according to an article by Daily Caller. This is a great article. It's a long article. It's one that I had. It's probably about an 8 or 9 page article. But literally, get this. Products that are fundamental, it says, to the global green pledges, including things like electric vehicles and batteries and solar panels and wind turbines, industrial-grade storage batteries, all of that stuff. Those require minerals, most of which are harvested or mined in places with significant human rights violations. That's right. 45% of the world's solar panel polysilicon supply comes from the Uyghur region of China. And you know what's going on there. Horrible forced labor practices. 45% from that region alone. And in that region, every single company that's involved in the production of polysilicon or its inputs was either engaged in forced labor or sourcing from a company that was engaged in forced labor. So significance of forced labor in the solar supply chain is pretty huge. In addition to that, more than 40,000 child workers, some as young as 6 years old, are estimated to be forced to work in the Democratic Republic of Congo mining cobalt, which is a key material for electric vehicle batteries. Now, some of those sourcings are from places like Amnesty International and others that are somewhat liberal in their bent. But I'm going to tell you, even if those stats are not entirely correct, I do believe that it's true that 45%-ish of the polysilicon supply that goes into our solar panels, they do come from China. They do come from the Uyghur region. And the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, known for years as a source of child slave labor. And yet that's where we're mining cobalt that goes into our electric vehicle batteries. Folks, got to pay attention. There's second and third order effects to these mandates. And you got to consider the overall picture. All right, folks, listen, I'm going to go ahead and wrap that piece. I'm going to go to the next one on the Triple Dipper. Keep your powder dry. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening around the world and some of our near-peer adversaries, what they're up to. That's right. Foreign policy, military policy, what's happening in the world. Keep your powder dry because it's not a safe world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solidly conservative, and my mic is on. We'll be right back.